The friend the Lord Jesus is to us, amen. And the friends that we have in the ministry and in the work of God and in the family of God, it is a blessing to have so many good friends, even some today that reached out and just encourage you and encourage your heart that the Lord, and I hope you have felt that encouragement from a brother and sister in Christ today, amen. You need that. We all need that, amen. And it's encouraging. Monday, I woke up and, man, I was saved. Amen. And so I was ready to take on the day, and then I made it around the corner of the building, and I saw Brother Donahue. Amen. And then just a smiling face, and I thought, man, he made it back too. Amen. And so get excited about that. And so Brother Donahue is just going to give us a short report tonight. We'll probably have him back up to give us a little bit more details and some things, but I wanted him to give a report as soon as he got back. Brother Donahue.
Thank you, preacher. If you love your preacher, say amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, over in Cambodia, that's all they talk about is our pastor. They watch it on the internet, and they love this church. Amen. And they're watching right now, and you know that I'm telling the truth because you're right there watching. God has blessed this trip. Started out real quick. It started out, my Uber driver showed up early. I sent a text to the radio station, put my phone down, got in the car, and got to the airport with no cell phone. Hey, when you lose your iPhone, your mind is gone, you know? So I'm panicking. What do I do? I got to Cambodia because of the computer problem that they had that same day where they were shutting down the airports. Well, they said, everyone's here, we're leaving now. I said, holy mackerel, we jumped on that plane and headed out 8 hours earlier, right? Now, here's the situation. I get to Singapore, fine, no problem. No test, by the way. Then I go to Burma, and I get there, and I was supposed to get there at 6 o'clock at night. Instead, I get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I have no phone. I know no one's phone numbers. The only number I knew was the church, and it was 8 o'clock at night. I couldn't call the church, but I had no phone to call them. And I knew my own phone number. I know the number that I had when I was in fourth grade, but it's not my number anymore. But here's the thing. So I went to the hotel. I checked in early because I wasn't supposed to be there till later. I got settled in, and then I went back to the airport at 6 o'clock because people were going to meet me. So I go back to the airport, and then I said, look, we need to get a hold of Kim. They said, why? I said, Kim knows my wife's phone number. All I know is Linda. I said, Kim got me Linda's phone number, and then the pastor bought me a Chinese telephone, and I was able to communicate back and forth with Linda, and I got different numbers and all, but it was unreal. Cell phones are a monster. And Brother Carter, I like your idea. If you can't get out of a book with a phone number, don't call them, you know, not call them by name. But the thing is that without a phone, I was in trouble. I got there. Let me just take a couple of minutes real quickly. I got there, and I rested up a little bit. Saturday morning, I had to be at a conference. But on Thursday, the day that I got there, we had a Bible study, and a man got saved.
Amen.
And then I went over from there, and I got real quickly. I'm going to go through it. Saturday, we had the Bible at the Bible Institute. I taught for 8 hours at the Institute like a zombie. And then on Sunday, morning service, 5 saved.
Amen.
The evening service, 3 saved. And these are different, going to different churches. On the following Monday, we had 1 person saved. Tuesday, I was teaching for 8 hours in another Bible conference, a Bible Institute. On Wednesday, we had our graduation, 3 people saved. On Sunday night at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1 person saved. I went to a garbage dump church. Sounds bad, but it's a church in the garbage dump. And 22 adults came down and got saved. 22 that day. The next day, we went out into the province. Another three got saved. The following day was Saturday, again, teaching at the Bible Institute. Sunday, we had a service at Landmark Baptist Church, and we had four saved. Sunday night, I was in another church, and 11. This was the anniversary now for this church, and we had 11 saved that service. The next day, I had a crisis. I got heat stroke. I couldn't walk. I went to stand up outside of the tuk-tuk, and my legs just went out from underneath me. The driver got me into the hotel because that's where I was getting out of the tuk-tuk. That's a wagon that you ride around in. And he brought me in and sat down. They ran over, gave me some water, and I sat in the hotel for an hour. I got a little bit of strength back, and I basically crawled up to my room. So I lost 2 days. I had to cancel the meetings for those 2 days, but on Wednesday, I preached at another church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, and four people got saved. That night, I went to another church. There was double service that time, and another person got saved. On Thursday, I was out in the province, and we left 7 o'clock in the morning, didn't get back till 9 o'clock at night. It was a good distance out with preaching in between, and five people got saved. And it just went on and on. On Sunday, I preached in the morning, and then I preached again that night in another church, and I was able to baptize 18 people. What a blessing. And one of them was Kim, who's at our college. Her mother got baptized that night. And oh, by the way, Kim says, if you don't say hello to those people, I'm never going to talk to you again. Hello, everybody, okay? And then the following service we had was another Baptist church that we had started a while back. We had 16 women. This is in a mission church now. 16 women walked the aisle. We, last year when I was there in January, we rented the building for this church. And then finally, the last Wednesday that I was there, a young man walked the aisle and got saved. And I'll give you the final figure. Okay, we had, in Burma, we had 363 in attendance, and 17 saved. In Cambodia, we had 117 total saved between Burma and Cambodia, and we baptized 18 people. This was a good anniversary, folks. This was a great anniversary. I heard the reports from here, and I am so proud to be a member of Landmark Baptist Church. Like Dr. Lee Robinson used to say, there ain't no place near this place like this place, so this has got to be the place. And I praise God that I can say that I'm a member of this church and that I love my pastor. And I'm proud of what Pastor Carter has done through the years to give us a foundation. And Brother Parson, Pastor Parson, can take it from here, and the sky is the limit. Amen. The sky is the limit. And we're all going to go there one day in the sky. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
What a blessing. Amen. We gave a lot of the reports, some of the numbers, but it's always good to hear it. And how many of you can empathize with him about losing your cell phone? And how many of you are able to, you know, rattle off your wife's number without just saying her name? Amen. Or remember it. Amen. And so, trouble. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to the book of Romans. We'll do our Bible study here. And I can tell you some of the elementary phone numbers that I memorized that are no good anymore. And I could call my grandmother if she was still alive at the same house. Amen. I remember her number, but I still could not rattle off. I'm pretty close. I could get some of the numbers of my wife's phone number. But the sad part is, for our phone number, you need every one of them, you know, to get the right one. Amen. I may be able to call someone else's wife, but that would also not be good. Amen. By accident. Romans chapter number 5. It would have been really terrible if somebody just got on the internet right then, right? Amen. Amen. But you'll have to straighten them out down the road. Romans chapter 5. We finished up chapter 4. And again, if you remember back in chapter 4 and verse 16, and I'll read that to you as you go to chapter 5, but it's again saying, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The verse starts with therefore, and is again referencing all back to the beginning of chapter 4, and builds another truth. And again, when we reach chapter 5, remember, this is a letter. Too many times we take the chapter and verse and we cut the books all to pieces, but Paul, under the inspiration of God, is writing a letter to the believer and to the church at Rome, and he's writing this, and so there he's building one truth upon another. It's not just one piece, it's a cohesive whole. We do break it down as we study, because we can't necessarily study the entire letter, but that's what we're working towards. And so he has said therefore, and has gone back, and he's built upon the foundation that it's not of circumcision, salvation is not of the law, but it is of faith in Jesus Christ. And he said that he's going to build upon the same idea that Abraham, righteousness was accounted to Abraham's account, not because of anything he did, but because of his faith, because of his belief in Jesus Christ. By the time we make it to chapter 5, he's going to build on what was there in chapter 4, on building on top of that. That in verse 21, he says, and being fully persuaded that when he had what God had promised, he was able to also perform. So again, it's expelling out exactly what Abraham believed in God and trusted in him. And in the Old Testament, he was believing that God was able to bring a redeemer that would come and die for all sin. And then at one time, and we talked through this, if you remember last time we were together on Wednesday, that he would raise him up. And he did. Jesus Christ went there and took captivity captive, took Abraham to heaven with him. And again, that idea or that mentality is where we're launching from by the time we get to chapter 5. He has proved some things out, that it is of faith, and he's going to continue to build on that foundation that has already been laid in the first 4 chapters. By the time he gets to chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, therefore being justified by faith. He doesn't make the statement like he needs to prove it. He makes the statement like it's already been proven in the previous 4 chapters. He doesn't start again to try to lay another foundation. The foundation has been laid and proven for the reader at Rome that Abraham trusted by faith, you can trust by faith, therefore being justified by faith. Not just Abraham, but everybody that will believe in Jesus Christ can be justified by faith. He says, we, speaking to the Romans, speaking to us as believers, what do we get when we get justified or we find justification? We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to make 2 statements in the first 2 verses of what we have when we get saved. He says in verse 1, we have peace with God. We were at enmity with God when we were in our sins. We were enemies of God, but when Jesus died on Calvary and we believe on his name and his finished work of Calvary, we have peace with Jesus Christ. What once was at war, or what had judgment, what was at odds with God, is now had peace. Now, this is one of the things we have to often understand. Just because we have peace, there have been a lot of peace treaties over the years, but it didn't mean that the 2 enemies were all of a sudden friends. And Paul is going to continue to build upon the thought that God makes peace with man and then reconciles our relationship through atonement. He's going to make that argument here that God, just because of justification, we were just as if we never sinned, that doesn't make us all buddy. That doesn't make us fellowship. And just God apportioned what Jesus did on Calvary, but he did more than that. We have justification. But look on in verse 2, by whom also references the Lord Jesus Christ. This came also by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have more than just being able to say we're justified or not. We've got peace with God. Now we have access to God because of what Jesus did on Calvary. We have peace doesn't mean you always have access. Sometimes the parties would make peace and separate themselves and go their different ways, but there's a difference when you make peace and then you reconcile it. Now what once was at odds and were enemies now made peace, and we're, if you were talking about nations, you'd say we're friends, we're allies. You have access to our strength. You have access to my ear. You have access to try to touch my heart. And the blessing of salvation for the believer is we not only were made at peace with God, but God gave us access to himself. And too many times we miss the fact that salvation, we believe that God saved us, but God saved us so that we might have access to himself. God always has desired since the very Garden of Eden to walk with man and to talk with man and to spend time with us. And to realize that the restoration of man or the reconciliation man to God had to come at first with making peace because of our sin. But then the reason for that was access. Realize this, throughout the scripture, God has always had access to man, but we have not always had access to God. And the troubling thing for us is that so many times, because of the sins we're saved out of, sometimes we lump ourselves into a position of, like, I'm not worthy of God. Well, that is true. None of us are worthy of God. Not one person in here, no matter how high you can pull yourself by your bootstraps or how good and squeaky clean you scrubbed yourself off before you came in here tonight, deserves to have access to a holy God. But God gave it to you anyway. And just as much as it was grace to save your never-dying soul and to forgive your sins, it was just as much grace to give you access unto himself. He goes on and he says in that same verse, wherein we stand. He's talking about the faith in Jesus Christ that gave us both peace and reconciliation, or the grace to have access to God. We stand in that. That means I am possessing it and stand in it. I exist in it. I live in it. It is who I am. It's not what I got or what I can have. It's what I did get when I got saved. All of that is not good English, but hopefully it sank in and got into your head and into your heart. Because when I got saved, I got access to the Father through Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, that makes my access or is granted. And now God is not at war with me. God is not mad at me. God has made peace with me. God wants to have me to have access to him because my sins are under the blood. Can I still break fellowship with God when God has revealed himself, or when I had access to God, he told me what I should do next and I decided to do the opposite? Yes. I can break fellowship, but I never break access. I can at any time turn and repent and come boldly before the throne of grace and be forgiven. I can come boldly before the throne of grace, and the door that was once a partition between us is now knocked down. There is access. The problem is this: when I have access to the Father, I walk into the throne room like this. But the problem with us is sometimes we're like this. And the door is still open, but I don't feel I got access. Because it's not God that turned his back on me, but maybe I turned my back on God. Maybe I've turned my back on his word. Maybe I've turned my back on, we could go through the list of things, on his truth. Too many times we forsake the access that we have. Too many times we trade the peace of God that we should have. We do have the peace with God. It doesn't mean we have peace at, we're not at war with other people. It doesn't mean that we're not at war with the devil. It doesn't mean that we don't still have a fight with principalities and powers and things in high places. It means that God made peace with me. The most important relationship in the universe for me, God made peace with me. Even when I had no strength to make peace with him, according to the scripture. Look at what he says here. He says, I have access by faith into this grace wherein I stand. So that's my standing in God. And rejoicing in hope. So I have a standing that is true of me. This is where I'm placed because of Jesus Christ. And I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So I can rejoice in hope no matter. So at salvation, I am given peace with God, access to the throne and the Father in heaven. I'm given a standing that I'm in the family of God, and I can rejoice in the hope that one day I will live in glory. That is not, there's nothing that can change my standing in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can change my access to God, really, but me. The relationship changes with, depending upon which face, which area I'm facing, but the door and the access is always granted if I'll come to God. God doesn't move, I move. God doesn't change, I change. God's never wrong, I'm wrong. But I can always come to him realizing he's not some angry God that's at war with me. He has already made peace. I stand in his family. I can rejoice in the hope that one day I'm not just going to have access, I'm going to be presence. I'm going to be in his presence. I'm going to be there located with him, not just calling on the telephone. Amen. And I'm glad I don't have to remember the number. Amen. And he goes on and says in verse 3, and not only so. Now, I don't know if you like the way the Bible lays some things out, but I like that. It's almost like saying, and that ain't all. And not only so, but. Now, but is one of those things that always, Pastor Carter always said, it's changing sides of the street. Right? Now, I want you to focus on this. Everything that came before is not an opposite truth. All right? Street is straight. There's two sides of it. All right? Candy store on this side, toy store on this side, right? Both sides. Just doesn't mean that both sides are bad or good. It just means we're changing sides here. One side told me that I have peace with God. One side told me that I had access to God. One side told me I'm my standing in God. As sure as God is sure, that I can rejoice in that hope, that I'll be with God and see him face to face one day. But you still live on earth. All right? That's where he's going. But we glory in tribulation. Now, we were just glorying in access. And where I'm standing. And one day I'm going to be in heaven. And we can pull out the hanky and take a lap on the first two verses. But nobody wants to read on to verse 3. And not only so makes it sound like it's getting better. And that ain't all. Then he says, but we glory in tribulation. Now, I'm not sure about that, right? But the Bible says it's true. Do you know the Apostle Paul, who's writing this, did and has and will tell us about it when we see him face to face? Glory in tribulation. Do you know when you're going through tribulation, it doesn't always seem like this is a blessing. But everything he mentioned before sounded like a blessing, didn't it? And tribulation is not just common to Christians. It's not like you got saved and got tribulation. You got saved because you were in the midst of your tribulations and you realize if you didn't get saved, it was only going to get worse. But now, I have peace with God, even though I still got tribulations. I can remember I got tribulations, but they weren't like they used to be. I used to be not only against the world and everybody else, but now I was against God. And now I got God taken care of. Really, God's got me taken care of. Not only did I prayed, but I didn't have anybody to pray to, but now I've got access to God. Now that I stand in Him, I got tribulations, but not like I used to be, because before I would just talk to people that didn't want to hear about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just tell everybody else, and they had problems too, and they go, yeah, You know how it is, how you doing, and you don't really want to know. Because some people will tell you about it. They'll begin to list off their tribulations. You know, they'll get out, they'll roll out the scroll. Where should I begin? Do you want the B's or the Z's? Where you want me to, you know, or somewhere in between? And we laugh about that, but we do realize sometimes it's a blessing and an encouragement to folks when we're in tribulation and in trouble. Sometimes it's just good to sit down and listen to folks because they need it. Because tribulation is common to man, and we can sit down together and realize this tribulation is not uncommon. This is not anything that's new under the sun, and we are facing it together. You got teenagers, you got problems. Amen. Amen. Take a lap there. Right? Say, I mean, amen. It's just how it is. But you know, if you're a teenager, you got problems. Yeah. Now, don't take a lap there. Because you may. That's just the way it is. Tribulation is common to man. But the blessing is, you know what's common to Christians? We have peace with God. What's common to Christians and a save is I have access to God. What's common to the Christian is I have a place that I have a standing that is never going to change because of what God has done for me. And that when the world who goes through tribulation has no hope, I have hope. And I can rejoice in hope. Even when I don't think I can change the circumstances of my tribulation, I can say it's not always going to be this way. One day, the Lord's going to take me out of this place. One day, I'm going to be in a place that don't have a bunch of sinners. One day, I'm going to be this standing that I'm in the family of God. I'm going to stand in His presence. Because I'm standing in Jesus Christ. Look at, he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. See, we glory in everything that came before, but we also, and you say, I don't know about this glorying in tribulation. Well, Paul did. And you know, we can thank God anywhere. Just thank God, you know, and if we really did, I mean, if we were really thankful. You know, I mean, I just, sometimes I miss this because I'm just a human too. But you know, when something doesn't go the way I think it ought to, and I mark it as tribulation, I'm not really sure that that's what it is. Maybe it's just trouble, but we mark it down as tribulation. What I could do is sit there and thank God for all the stuff I did have. Because the Christian can do that. The lost man focuses on what he ain't got right here and now, what he can't get at. But I can sit down and start counting off all the blessings of God. And too many times we focus on the negative and not the positives, the things that we have while we face tribulation. Because tribulation, why didn't God just take us out of this world? Because tribulation works patience. Now, I don't know anybody that signed up for patience. Now, there are a bunch of people that I know need it, and I'd like to have some more of it, but if it takes tribulation to get it, I don't think I'm signing up for it. Right? But God signed us up for it. Really, to be honest with you, when we sinned in the garden, we signed up for it. And even being here after we're saved is part of the learning process of the Christian. Because for me, I can tell you for me, I mean, what helped me grow as a Christian was seeing other people that had tribulation and they walked on patiently, in patience, And I watched how could somebody have grace in a time of a storm like this? How could somebody give God the glory even when everything seemed to be falling apart? How could somebody walk with God when his child died and when this happened and that happened? How could they continue on and give God glory? Because tribulation works patience. And that same person, if they truly are someone who's giving glory to God in the midst of their tribulation, while they're gaining patience, that person is not glorying in the tribulation. They're looking back and saying, I have peace with God. I have access to the Father. I have a standing that you can't see, but I'm a part of the family of God. I right now am rejoicing in the hope that it's not always going to be this way. I have patience. Patience. You know, I wish I could say it ended there, but patience works something too. And this is something every one of us desperately need. But every one of us want to jump from grace to experience. Do you know that even the spiritual realm, even outside of Baptists, so many people talk about the Christian experience. We all want to feel something. You know, we didn't get to experience back when we had peace with God, but when I got saved, I felt something. And it really wasn't about the feeling, but I can tell you I felt like a load fell off of me, because before I felt like I was burdened down. But man, I felt like something. I felt like something just fall off of me when I got saved, and just a load of sins that I was bearing and trying to work on myself. All of a sudden, God cleared the slate. I remember when I realized that there seemed to be an access, and that instead of just speaking to the sky and saying things like, God, if you're up there, now I spoke to the God that I knew and whose I was. Because I was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I realized my standing was in something solid. Where before I felt like I was on sinking sand, now it was a solid rock that I stood in. And I knew that I was standing in truth, and I rejoiced in the hope of Jesus coming again for me. Experience. Do you know what experience is? It's when the Apostle Paul... Maybe I should just use this, and I don't think Pastor Carter would get upset with me, but I remember going to a meeting that we're getting ready to go to, and I remember a young man getting up and talking about older preachers. Now, that young man, I've met him, and I know he is not a bad man, and if he's watching right now. Anyway, so, but he's a preacher that I know loves the Lord, but he got up as a young man, and he started to go on about how he didn't care about all these older preachers who were stacking story on top of story and on top of story when they preached. You know why he was talking bad about those preachers? Because he didn't have no stories. And to be honest with you, you know what? Most of the time when my preacher tells a story, he tells me all about the tribulation that he was going through. And how he had to have patience and trust God. And how he got an experience that only could have happened because God came through and took care of him. Do you know that every opportunity in our Christian life when we face tribulation, it is a milestone in our life that if we will be faithful, we will earn patience. And we will find that we have an experience that we can tell everybody about. And a lot of times, sometimes even good Christians have been in church a long time that bail in the tribulation. And they never learn patience to stick and stay. They jump from place to place. Whenever it's, you know, it gets hot here, I go over here. But people that are faithful and stay and stay and stay, they have experience. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you think the Apostle Paul didn't have some negatives, he could have told you some stories. He had stories. He could tell you a story about a John Mark that he didn't think would turn out, but he made good. But he also had a story about a Demas that that went and loved this present world never came back. You know, we miss the things that sometimes we don't always know how everything's going to work out. And sometimes the experience we get may be the experience we don't want. But I tell you this, I still believe this book works all the way. Even though we're in chapter 5, it's going to work its way all the way to chapter 8 and verse 28. And where all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those that are called according to his purpose. That means those that went through the tribulation, earned patience, and then let patience work on them until they found an experience that only God could give them. He goes through here and he says, you know, preacher, what about experience? What does experience work? Hope. You know, every one of them old preachers that ever told a story, you know what I got on the back end of it? I benefited from his tribulation and his patience and his experience because it gave me hope that God can. God has, and God will for me too. Sometimes I just forgot that it took tribulation, patience, and experience to get that. And if I'm going to be the same kind of preacher, if you're going to be the same kind of Christian for the next generation, you know what it's going to take for you? It's going to take enduring the tribulations, being faithful and patient, and letting it build experience in your life so that you might be able to give others hope. So that when you get gray-haired or cleared off, amen. Amen. Both of those, tribulation, patience, you know, pulling it out, right? But it all leads to hope. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm just saying, in other words, I want to give my grandkid, I'm just going to tell you, I don't want to sit. I want to be able to tell my grandkids Pastor Carter's stories. But I would love to sit down and tell him some of my own. Because of what God did in my life through tribulation, patience, experience, and hope. And I only get it if I go step by step through there. And I could never do it if I didn't have peace with God, if I didn't have access to come before his throne and beg God for mercy and grace in my times of trouble. I could never do it if I didn't realize that nobody, none of this tribulation could ever change my standing in Jesus Christ. I could never do it if I didn't have something all the way through to rejoice in and to look forward to. Do you know all the time, you know, sometimes in the world looks forward to that whatever weeks they get, that 2-week vacation. They work all year long for that 2-week vacation. I can't wait. They rejoice in it. You know, you work with some of them. They bring out the pictures. Going here. Look at that beach. Baptists don't call it a beach. It's a shore. Look at that shore. Right? I'm going to do nothing and sit in the sun for 2 weeks. Right? I mean, they look forward to that. You know, the Christian, that's an earthly thing. I get out. The Bible and say, look at here. I got a place prepared for me. Amen. And there's a person waiting on me. I can't wait to see him face to face. All this tribulation, all this patience, all this experience, it just kept working up my hope for the place that I'll spend eternity, for the person who died and paid for my way. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do tonight? I'm trying to help you to say, therefore, Abraham, it was accounted to him for righteousness. The same belief that you have in Jesus Christ has been put on your account if you're saved tonight. Amen. And though we will leave this place and every one of us find our own tribulation for tomorrow, because the world has got it waiting, and it may not wait till tomorrow. It may even start back up when you walk out of the building tonight. But if we just always put it back in there saying, God is working on me through this tribulation, so that I can have patience and experience and I can further give hope. You know, hope isn't just for the next generation. Hope is for the holder. You know, I can tell stories about Pastor Carter. I can tell you stories about my grandparents. I can tell you stories about some of the empty places in the pews of people who tribulation experience, patience, and hope. But I want some of my own. When I tell some of the young people, some of our teenagers, we can tell them all about what happened years ago. They desire to see it now. In the heart of every teenager is an aching pain. Like somebody from Missouri, show me. Show me it's real. Prove it to me. Not in the past, but in the present. And I desperately, and I know I'm looking at a bunch of people that want that too. I'm just saying, I don't want tribulation. I have no desire for it. But I realize it's coming for me whether I like it or not. But I realize that without Jesus Christ, I would fall and trip and be buried under the tribulation. But I have a standing. I have access. Man, I have everything that I need to face it head on and stand and have hope. And again, even for Jesus Christ, this scripture over and over again, not only in tithing, but in every other area of ministry, God says, prove me. Prove me. My Christian life, your Christian life, should all be made up about just simply living the Christian life and proving that God is real. And that will always breed hope. Every day and twice on Sunday. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I do not want to be remiss to let you outside the building without giving you an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never accepted Him, His finished work is His faith that we were talking about. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what's different than every other religion. If you're here and you don't have a standing, you don't have access to God, you don't even know how you could get peace with God, we can take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. As we all stand to our feet and the musicians come, if God spoke to your heart, maybe you need to pray tonight. You're a Christian and you know God. You have peace with Him, but today tribulation was a little bit more than you thought you could bear. Why don't you come and talk to God about it? If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you come and meet me in the front? I'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven and have peace with God. As the musicians begin to play, and Brother Bert begins to sing, why don't you step out and come? I'll meet you here in the front.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. World behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? If you're here and you don't know Christ, maybe you've never been here, you've never been in an invitation. Not an old-fashioned one like this. This invitation is for you to step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that you have peace with God through accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ. Boy, tonight you may be holding on to the pew and know that you need to come, but boy, we would love to meet you and take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Don't leave this place, because the opposite of heaven, the opposite of peace, is being an enemy to God and heading to a place called hell. And I don't want that for any man, woman, boy, or child inside this place, we want for you peace that we have felt, not because of what we've done or be our goodness, but because of what Jesus has done. And you can have that too if you'll simply accept him tonight. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you another opportunity to step out and come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. If you are here and you don't know for sure that you're saved, I'll be down here for a few minutes. I'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Folks, I appreciate everybody. I know we have our Christian school. We invited you to our Grandparents' Day, but if you would, pray for our Christian school. It goes on every day of the week, except for Saturday and Sunday. And if you show up Saturday and Sunday, we do a couple things too. Amen. So we could use your prayers every day of the week. Do pray for us as we try to serve the Lord. And I know we pray for you as you continue to lead your family. We'll pray for you tonight as we go. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless our families. Lord, we realize inside this room and with the way of our world, Lord, right now, there are tribulations all around us. God, we look forward to hearing that trumpet and the Lord Jesus descend from heaven. Lord, we have hope in that, and we'll rejoice in it even now that it's going to be true and it's coming soon. But Lord, help us tonight as we go our separate ways to our homes. Lord, be with us. Help us, Lord. Help us in the midst of the tribulations of this life to serve you, to be faithful to you, to walk with you. Help us, Lord, to work all the way to hope and show our families, our children, the world, that the book is true and that God is real and that there's hope found in Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.